Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reich of Crime Talk, and thank you for tuning in. First on the docket, let's talk Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell. Second, Pastor Tony Spell causing some hate and discontent again and will probably be held in contempt. Third, a man arrested in the Willie Robertson, that's right, the Duck Dynasty drive-by. The Laredo Police Department making streets safe for criminals everywhere. The 911 call between Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. And our dumb criminal contestant winner from last week and our contestant for today. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reich of Crime Talk, and thank you for tuning in. We know you have lots of options. We appreciate you taking the time to watch our channel. If you haven't done so already, we would ask that you please subscribe, hit that little bell so that you receive notifications, and as always, leave us a comment below about what you think about what we talked about here today. First on the docket, let's talk about the Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell case. Now, nothing really new to report in this particular case today. But one of the reasons why I started this channel a little over a year ago was because it frustrated me so much how the news media couldn't explain what was really going on in a case because, frankly, the people just didn't know. And we've tried to do that over the course of the last year, year and a half, and explain procedurally how things work, how they really work, versus that 15-second clip that you get on the news. Now, over the weekend, I watched some other YouTube channels, and I read several articles that frankly just get it wrong. Now, as we talked about last week, the district attorney has to produce a witness list. And I saw all kinds of videos and all kinds of articles saying, Chad Daybell is going to testify at a hearing regarding Lori Vallow. Well, they didn't say what hearing it was going to be. Now, we all know the only hearing coming up is the one regarding the bond reduction hearing. It'd be very unlikely that the attorney for Ms. Vallow is going to call her husband, Chad Daybell, for that hearing. The normal procedure for a bond reduction hearing is that you proceed by proffer. That means the attorney is making a representation to the court that he has a good faith basis for, that if he were to call a witness to the stand, they would say a certain thing. Let's face it, Chad Daybell is not going to be getting on any witness stand unless he is being given immunity, all right? He has an investigation regarding the case of his wife who, you know, mysteriously passed away 2 weeks prior to Chad marrying Lori Vallow. He's not getting on the stand. He's not going to get on the stand and answer any questions about the conversations that he may have had as to his knowledge of where the children may be. The attorney for Lori Vallow, if he were going to do that, it would be highly unlikely. I'm sure the district attorney would love for that to take place because then they would get to cross-examine him about that. And it's just simply not going to happen. But yet these people are out there speculating that this is what's going to happen. Why? Because unfortunately they don't understand he has a Fifth Amendment right that anything he says can be used against him. He's not testifying. Unless he either A, cuts a deal, and in exchange for a deal, he would then have to testify, or he could be called to testify, but only then by the prosecution if he's going to be granted immunity, which means nothing he says can be used against him in his own proceedings. Highly unlikely that that would happen. Now, if they did grant him that, he would be forced to testify and could face contempt if he refused to answer those questions. But let's face it, ladies and gentlemen, I would be the most shocked person in the world if he testified at the hearing coming up as it relates to a bond reduction, and I'd be even more surprised if he were to testify at a trial as it relates to the desertion of the children. We'll see, But I don't know all the answers, but I at least try to figure them out. And literally, there was hundreds of hours of speculation out there on this particular issue that I listened to. Not all 100 hours, but you get the point. And articles written simply by people that don't have an understanding of the courts. And I'm not saying I know all the answers, but after 25 years, I have a pretty good idea of procedurally what's going to take place and not going to just simply engage in speculation. So we'll see. All right, next on the docket, let's talk about this pastor down in Louisiana by the name of Tony Spell. Now, he first made news because he said that he was going to violate some social distancing orders that were put in place, and he wasn't going to abide by that. There was video about that, but nothing really happened. And then ultimately, he was charged last week for an incident that was on video where he allegedly tried to hit a protester that was near his church with a van of some type of car. Well, anyway, he gets arrested for that. Part of his release on bond, his pretrial release, is that he has to have an ankle monitor and that he has to stay home to basically be on house arrest. Well, this pastor this weekend not only left his residence, he went back to the church, and apparently there is video of people not engaging in social distancing. It is what it is. But what we're talking about here today is the fact that he left his house, which is a violation of his pretrial supervision orders. The judge in the case for Tony Spell is aware of the violations, but says that he wasn't going to revoke the good pastor's bond and throw him down in the county jail pending charges or possibly increasing his bond, because he was concerned that he could potentially expose inmates at the correctional facility to the coronavirus. So the judge said he would monitor the situation and ultimately decide whether he should hold the good pastor in contempt or revoke his bond. Now, the judge is being very soft, and I've seen lots of things that would not take place in the criminal justice system just a few months ago taking place, where people are getting released, work release programs being shut down, and then people being released. Never seen anything like it. Jails are constantly inundated with people getting sick, the flu, hepatitis, you name it. There's always something going around and people are being quarantined. So I'm a little surprised the way people are acting about this. Yes, I get it's a scary disease. No one really knows what they're dealing with. And, you know, to kind of join into the precautions that everybody wants to take, everybody's trying to release people from jail. We saw several people got released from federal custody. You got Michael Avenatti. You got that Tekashi 6ix9ine character, along with many, many more, just simply because they had a high risk factor in them, or they were getting close to the end of their sentence. Now, there are lots of others that don't get released, and nor should they, because most of them that are in there for lengthy sentences are violent and they're not going to be getting out. So we'll see. This good pastor, Spell, you know, his attorney hopefully needs to gain a little client control and tell him you're not scoring any fans with the judge and probably the prosecutor. And when you piss off a judge, he may be real polite. He may give you a fair trial. But if you lose, he is going to hit you out of the park. So it's best to follow those rules, and past performance is indicative of future results. So lots of judges look at pretrial release and see how people complied with that, whether they in fact would be a good candidate for probation if they were ever convicted of a crime. So the good pastor, I get what he's trying to do, I think, but he's not scoring any points with the judicial system. So what can you do? All right, next on the docket. I don't know if you've ever seen Duck Dynasty. I remember watching this with my son. He just thought it was the coolest thing. But like most reality TV, there's not a whole lot of reality. Everything is really scripted. Well, needless to say, Willie Robertson and his family have been very successful in the hunting product industry as it relates to ducks, and then they add a series. And anyway, a man by the name of Daniel Dean King, and he is given the presumption of innocence here, is being arrested for allegedly driving by the Robertson house, which was a gated community. And let's just say he let some things fly. And we'll leave it at that because I want to talk about something in a minute. So let's just say he let some things fly. And he wanted to make sure that the instrument that he was using was on safe. Well, apparently it was not, because when he talked to the police, he said he may have been drinking. And, you know, that was his excuse for it. And then it was determined that some 8 to 10 projectiles came from this particular instrument and struck the house. Fortunately, no one was hurt. He's now in custody on a $150,000 bond, but he's not very smart because he did it in broad daylight, and there's video surveillance and clearly got his license plate number. What can you do? Now, while we're on that subject, if you notice that, I didn't mention any things about, you know, things that go bang, expel projectiles. Why? Because, I don't know, I'm just kind of at my wit's end with YouTube and their policies. And the reason why I bring that up is I just want to read you some things that YouTube considers to be controversial. And it gets videos, you know, demonetized. When it gets demonetized, then it doesn't do that. So anything regarding child abuse. Well, think about how many cases that we have discussed that discuss child abuse. How many people have injured children we've talked about? I'm trying to bring awareness about these cases, so hopefully it doesn't happen. Or if somebody thinks they're going to harm a child, you know, maybe they take that deep breath and, you know, ask somebody else to you know, change a diaper. But apparently, for YouTube, that's a controversial item. You can't talk about that. Sexual abuse, can't talk about that. You know, Harvey Weinstein, remember him? You know, former mogul, media mogul who was convicted of sexual abuse. Can't talk about that. Oh, he was also subject to a lot of sexual harassment. Can't talk about that. That's too tricky of a subject here on YouTube. Self-harm, suicide, eating disorders, domestic abuse. If you talk about domestic abuse, you're going to be flagged, your video's demonetized. Oh, and bullying. God forbid you want to talk about bullying because that is too controversial of a subject, and your videos will be demonetized because that is inappropriate for viewers out there. And I get it. Those advertisers, they can put their dollars where they want to, but it's frustrating because here we are, literally 1.7 million views last month, nearly 100,000 subscribers. We don't talk about anything more risque than you would hear about on the evening news, yet YouTube doesn't let these advertisers make their choice to say, hey, we'd like to be an advertiser on Crime Talk. Just super, super frustrating. So needless to say, whether we make a penny at all on this, and I assure you it's not much since most of our videos get demonetized, we're still going to continue to do it because, well, fortunately, we'll do it as long as we can because it does take time. It does take effort to do these things. And, you know, we have a small staff, but they don't work for free. But we're going to keep doing it anyway. Next on the docket. Yes, the Laredo Police Department making streets safe for criminals everywhere. So if you haven't seen this story, it's absolutely outrageous. Two women are facing charges after police said they were offering, wait for this, salon services from their home. Yes, that's right. We've talked about other gateway drugs like this, you know, driving without insurance, maybe driving with expired plates. Who knows where this may lead? Well, the Laredo Police Department spent time to arrest two people because one was going to do manis and pedis and the other one was going to do eyelashes. And you wouldn't think they would just, you know, go about and just knock on the door. Oh, no, no, no. They set up a undercover sting for these two ladies. Now, understand, the resources that are involved in a sting. It's not just one officer going in and maybe recording something. They have cover officers. They brief the entire situation. There were probably six officers involved. Six officers for two people having consenting adults going out and asking to get their mani and pedis done and maybe some eyelashes or eyebrows. Does it really matter? No. This is the craziness that we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen. I get it. Coronavirus, scary. Lots of people have died. The states have shut down entire industries, the economy, and whichever side of this issue you're on, that we should go back to work, or whether we should stay isolated for the next 6 days, 6 weeks, 6 months, 6 years. I don't know about you, but a lot of people I know need to go back to work and make a living if they still have a job. And the fact that all these municipalities are going to start having budget cuts because of the loss of income, but yet they think it's appropriate to go out and conduct undercover operations to get people arrested for running home salons during quarantine. It must have been a slow day for fighting crime in Laredo, Texas. Maybe the Laredo Police Department can move on to cracking down on some of those unlicensed lemonade stands. Perhaps they could go about trying to get the identities for the 1,000 people that showed up at a dance party in Chicago over the weekend. Maybe they can volunteer their services or expertise so that we can crack down on those individuals as well. I get it. You can say there's safety. It's nurses. Get it. My daughter's a nurse. I get it. I hear about it. But at a certain point, people are not going to comply with laws that are overburdensome and, for lack of a better term, nobody cares about. They're just not going to do it. And a lot of these aren't even laws. And the one in Laredo is they passed a city ordinance as they did in California. I guess like that Malibu surfer and the stand-up paddleboarder that were arrested for disobeying the stay-at-home order 3 weeks ago, they could be charged up to $1,000. Four people were arrested the other day in New Jersey in an Airbnb rental in Jersey City. And we've heard about, obviously, the case even here in the state of Colorado, at the city just down the street, where the former police officer had permission or was authorized to be in the park, and they arrested him in front of his son when he refused to leave, which the police department ultimately apologized for arresting him and arresting him in front of his son. But that's how crazy it has become. And at a certain point, people need to look at their individual rights and freedoms, all right? You cannot just be put in house arrest for no valid reason. You can't do it. You haven't done anything wrong. If you're sick and you're running around infecting people, then they can do that. If your restaurant is unsanitary and unclean, the State Department, Health Department can shut you down. But to shut down all of these industries, it's crazy. It is probably a taking under the Fifth Amendment. They're taking your property from you if you can't do it. It's a regulatory taking. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, the smallest minority on earth is the individual. And our Constitution protects individual rights. So hopefully soon this madness will be done. Now, next on the docket, we're going to use one of those prohibited terms by YouTube that will make your content salacious and not possibly available for advertisers. That's right. We're going to talk about domestic abuse and the ongoing Johnny Depp Amber Heard domestic abuse situation. We've put up the audio before because it just shows how angry these things can become, and people just want to win. It's one of the reasons why I think early on in my career, I did two divorces, and I said I would never do another one again. It's not about collecting the property, dividing it up equally, and sending people on their way. It's about trying to hurt the other individual. And this particular case is case in point. And it's surprising that it hasn't led to criminal charges just yet. Because normally when a 911 call is made and the police arrive, guess what? Someone is going to jail. The police officers say, we'll arrest one or both of you, and we'll let the courts sort it out. So the fact from this particular call where it was alleged that Amber Heard alleged that Depp hurled a cell phone at her face and tore out her hair, surprising the good Mr. Depp did not go to jail. And of course, both sides in this particular case say that this 911 call supports each of their arguments. Heard's attorney says that the phone records and police logs vindicate Heard's account of the final episode of domestic violence that she endured during her filing for the divorce proceedings. Depp's legal teams say that this recording does the precise opposite by raising discrepancies in the various accounts Heard and her allies have given over the course of the years in both the divorce as well as the defamation suit.
1-1 emergency, upper to 278. Hi, I need to report an assault right now happening at 849 Broadway at the Eastern Building in Penthouse 3.
And 37 seconds.
Okay, are you there right now, ma'am?
No,
I'm downstairs. Okay, and I'm sorry, you said 840, was it North or South Broadway?
Seconds.
I don't know, it's Eastern Building, downtown LA.
20, 27, and 57 seconds.
Because it's coming up in different areas, I would have to be sure.
20,
somebody was being physically assaulted?
Yeah. 7 seconds.
Ooh. A woman. Who was hurting her?
A man.
Is that her boyfriend?
20,
I am. Man, that's all I know.
17 seconds.
Did you witness it?
No, I happen to know that it's happening, and I just need to remain anonymous.
Okay, you can remain anonymous then, but I have to be certain what's going on. How do you know this is going on, though?
She told me.
Oh, okay, so this is a friend of yours?
Yeah.
Okay, so what did she say, that this guy was assaulted her or hit her?
Physically assaulting her, yeah.
Okay, but this isn't a boyfriend or anything like that?
Yes, it could be, yeah.
Okay, is it her boyfriend, yes or no?
Seconds. Yes.
Okay. All right, hold on. Are you between 8th and 9th Street in downtown?
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
seconds.
And I'm sorry, what was the suite number?
Penthouse 3.
Penthouse 3, okay.
20,
and you want us to be anonymous, 20, right?
Yes, and okay. 0 7 seconds.
And your friend, did she relay this information to you via text or was
20,
you talking to her?
20, 9, and okay. 17 seconds.
What's her name?
May 20.
Her name, Amber.
2016.
That's 20, all I can tell you. I have to go.
And
okay, well, that's all we have, and we can't talk to her. There's not much we can do. We'll
send what do you mean?
There's send somebody up, please. I'm gonna send someone up, ma'am. But you know, if we get up there and she denies it, or
okay,
doesn't want to
okay,
talk to us, okay, just so you know, okay. So we're coming out to 840 Broadway, Penthouse 3. Okay,
849.
We've put up all these audio recordings. You can take a listen to them, judge for yourself. These two probably deserve each other. It's clearly a love-hate relationship. They love to hate each other, but that's what it is. You make up your own mind. Let me know what you think. Now, next on the docket, our dumb criminal contestants of the week winner last week, resoundingly by an overwhelming margin, I believe, of 89%. Was Terrion Pouncey, the man who went to rob the hot dog stand in Chicago and not only wound up shooting himself in the leg, but shot himself in his private parts and was ultimately arrested by the police, even though he's the one that called the police and said that he was the victim of a shooting. Yes, Terrion Pouncey, you are our dumb criminal contestant of the week. And if you contact me at scott@scottreich.com, claim your mug, we'll ship it to you. And if you want to, we'd even have you on the show, and you can explain what really happened and why maybe you're not deserving of this, but somehow I think you are. Now, our dumb criminal contestant of the day is a woman by the name of Christina Zykus. All right. Now, Miss Zykus, she's 35, and she apparently got into an argument with her partner. And the dispute turned violent when Miss Zykus stabbed the victim in the arm with a pen, causing him to depart the home. And as we see so often, when one person leaves, the other person usually gives chase. And in this particular case, Miss Zykus then threw a brick, nearly hitting the gentleman in the head. Additionally, where it gets really good is that Miss Zykus then threw candy canes at the victim's left arm, causing him pain. Now, most jurisdictions have a assault count. Usually it's a misdemeanor, but if you cause somebody pain, that will be a charge. So if they say that you, not someone who looked like you, but someone using your, not somebody using your identity, but was in fact you, knowingly or recklessly did something that caused another person pain, you would be guilty of an assault, even if it was a candy cane. Now, Miss Zykus was lucky she didn't get charged in that particular instrumentality that she used the candy cane as a deadly weapon, because a deadly weapon probably could cause a break, scar, permanent disfigurement. You never know how it would be used. And Miss Zykus should have known better, because the picture we're showing you is her parole picture, because she was previously released from the Department of Corrections. So this is not her first rodeo and should have known better. So Miss Zykus, for not letting it go, but then attacking with candy canes when you had a brick, not that we're proposing anyone should use violence, but really a candy cane, what did you think was going to happen there? Thanks for watching. I appreciate you taking the time. Thanks for letting me vent a little bit about YouTube. It's just so frustrating. And if you haven't done so already, we'd ask that you please subscribe and have a great day. My name is Scott Reich, and thanks for watching. This is Crime Talk.